A good Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Tetzaveh, and Parshas Zachar, Tafshin Ayin Zayin. As you all know, this is our weekly Parsha podcast coming from you. Usually it's 5 minutes. This week we have a special treat in store for you. And I'd like to welcome a guest for the very first time to our Parsha podcast. Somebody who last year had the success of doing a real live radio podcast, Rabbi Josh Margolis.
Thank you.
Of Kew Gardens, and we wanted to give a little bit of extra this Purim season, talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Purim, and then specifically the mitzvah of Chayiv Inish L'Besumim B'Puraya Ad L'Yoda Ben Arar Harman L'Baruch Mordechai. As you know, the Shulchan Aruch brings in Siman Tov Reish Tzadik Hei, Sif Beis, based on the Gemara Megillah Dav Zayin Amud Beis, that a person has a responsibility to be mevasim on Purim. We'll talk about that word until he doesn't know the difference between Harar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And the Mefarshim all have a very difficult time trying to understand what is this idea of trying to get, of getting drunk. We don't find anywhere in Judaism that there's a mitzvah to get drunk. As we know, there's a mitzvah to make half kiddush. There's a mitzvah for the Dalet Kaisis on Pesach. But we don't find anywhere in Jewish lore, in Jewish literature, that getting drunk is something which is laudable, something which is actually a responsibility, and in this case, is even required.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Bir Halacha even asks that question, that if anything, it's generally frowned upon to get to that state. And here it's different. And he explains, he brings the Achronim, who explain that it has to do with the fact that the entire Nes came about through drinking Achashverosh and the Suda, I mean the Mishteh, the subsequent Mishteh with Esther and Haman, and of course drunkenness played a very, very vital role, which definitely explains it on a level.
But it doesn't really get to the crux of the matter.
Right.
Why do we abandon all of our, you know, for all the Musar and all the things that we're taught as Yidden growing up and learning on a daily basis, that we have to be careful with what we say and how we act.
Right.
And drunkenness is the antithesis. You know, where we know that when a person finishes a siyum, unaratzim, heim ratzim, unaratzim v'chaim alaba, heim ratzim l'ber shachas, you know, the quintessential vision in our mind of somebody who is non-productive is a drunk, right? That's something which is... and something which in Yiddishkeit is not, is like I said, is frowned upon. And here, all of a sudden in Purim, we have this idea where a person has to get drunk and it's a mitzvah. Now, just to be fair, the Rama says, of course, Hagav Yeshamim, Dein Sarach L'Shtaka Kol Kach, El Yishta Yoyser Milimudai. As we know, that the Rama famously tells us that it doesn't mean that a person has to get drunk, out of his mind drunk, but what it means is that he has to get drunk, Yoyser Milimudai, more than he should drink more than he usually drinks. In other words, if he drinks, let's say by Shabbos Suda, he drinks a glass or two, he should drink maybe three, and then he can, and then he's going to the mitzvah, and the Rama says v'yoshen, he should sleep, and v'tach sheyoshen, and yadem en arham on l'baruch Mordechai. By sleeping, so then he's mekayim the mitzvah of not knowing between arham and baruch Mordechai.
Right.
So with that, he's going to the mitzvah. Okay, but it seems to be that the Welt has taken on that, and it's accepted, we see it as accepted, you know, no matter where you go, you see that there's a mitzvah to people get drunk.
Many people, many people. I do, by the way, I did notice something interesting. One of the poskim says in the that according to the Rama, let's say a person just falls asleep without taking a drink. He also doesn't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, but Baruch Mordechai and Arar Haman. But one of the poskim says that doesn't count because it actually has to be mitoch his drunkenness. Right. In other words, it's chayiv inish l'besumeh. The Rama is not coming to... Lafuke, the besume part of things. So it's not the sleeping per se, it's the sleeping as a result of drinking, which is interesting. I don't know why that would be exactly, but it's really interesting. But getting back to what you're saying, yeah, the other tzad is certainly predominantly accepted or very, very, very well accepted. By the way, an interesting thing just to add, and like you said, there's going to be more than one shot in even not just how and why we can bring ourselves to drunkenness, which throughout the year is frowned upon, but also what it means exactly. Adlo yada ben arham al baruch Mordechai. The Rama is saying that it means you're asleep. The push-up shot is that you're awake, and you still don't know the difference. So the Mishnah Berurah on that Shulchan Aruch I found interesting when I recently discovered. I think there's some people have a misconception. I know I did where I thought it meant that you literally, you're so far gone that you don't know the difference between the good and the evil. You think that Mordechai HaTzadik and Haman HaRasha, the Amaleki, are the same, which is really, really extreme. And the Mishnah Berurah actually says not like that. The Mishnah Berurah says that it has to do with levels of punishment and the levels of reward and punishment. He says that Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, really what was going on was that was Hashem doing a nace for us. Hashem was doing a nace for us, and Hashem was part of the salvation of Klal Yisrael. The Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael was Hashem first punishing Haman and then giving Mordechai the Gedula. And those are really two levels of the nace that saved Bnei Yisrael. Both of those things were parts of the storyline. And the Shabura says that you can't distinguish between those two things. In other words, the reward that Klal Yisrael got, let's call it the Hatzalah of Haman being hanged, that was one level. Then there was a second level of reward, which was that Mordechai became literally the viceroy. So those two things can be somewhat confusing if a person gets tipsy. And it's just interesting because I think that at least diminishes the level of drunkenness.
Actually, just to add on your words, the Mishnah Berurah actually says, and I think this is the Pesach, this is the opening to understanding the whole thing. He says, V'im kol zeh, amr chazal, shal yasim li ten shevach al zeh, b'simcha at shiyav li dekach, shal yavchen od ma'bein tov l'zu. In other words, that he shouldn't know the difference. The Mishmur says the beginning of that Sivkatan. In other words, the Mishmur explains that the person has to like you were saying, that a person has to realize that both things that happen are really for Matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bad of Haman, the good of Mordechai, both of those things really are two sides of the same coin. And I think that's the Pesach, the understanding why it is that we have to undertake this mitzvah of drinking on Purim. Now, just to be fair, the Mishnah Berurah does say that the Ramah does say, I'm sorry, that Echad Amar Bechad Amamid Uvat Shechavin Liber L'Shamayim, right? Whether it's a little bit, whether it's a lot, a person has to be mechavin towards Shemayim. But what I want to take our discussion to, Rabbi Margolis, is I want to take it to trying to understand a little bit deeper what is this mitzvah of Libsume, and why is it so unique to Purim, and why is it a responsibility of Purim. So I just want to share something I heard this week. If you take the actual words of the Gemara, the words of the Mechaber, Chayiv Inish, where do we ever see that that it says Chayiv Inish?
Yeah.
And that we never see those words, Chayiv Inish.
That's great, Dick. I don't know if I ever thought of that. Wow.
Yes, what does it mean, Inish? So the shir that I heard this week, I heard so many this week in preparing, is that Chayiv Inish means that you have to, the only person that's allowed to get drunk is an Inish. Inish is a mensch, right? Only a mensch is allowed to get drunk. Chayiv Inish. Before you undertake this mitzvah is not a regular mitzvah where, you know, you're making kiddush on Shabbos. This mitzvah is for anashim. You have to be an Inish. You have to be a Gavra. You have to be somebody who is ready to understand what it is to get drunk, Beautiful. The responsibilities of getting drunk, and the responsibilities that come with getting drunk, with becoming intoxicated. It's not just, you know, oh, it's a mitzvah, I do it, because right, Chazal had a cheshbon over here.
You know, it occurs to me, as we talk, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan. I mean, the Torah doesn't, Tanakh, we don't always refer to everybody as an ish. The Torah, you'll see, will switch back and forth, and certain times it'll call a person an ish. Usually it has to do with being a gavra, sometimes it has to do with wealth, but it certainly has to do, as you're saying, with a mensch. And I always found it fascinating that, you know, in Yiddish we call it a mensch. A mensch literally means a man, a person. In English we call it a gentleman. You know, somebody once said to me, a non-Jewish person, we were doing certain work together, and he said to me, you're a gentleman. And I said to myself, I felt nobody ever called me that before. And, you know, I don't know, maybe he was wrong. But the fact is that it felt really good. And that's like the ultimate compliment in a certain sense, just telling somebody that you're really that level of maturity, of dignity. You have a certain sense of achrayus. That's a really beautiful pshat.
Thanks. So I also saw something very interesting in the word besume. If we can go a little bit with the chassidish thought, the Imre Emma says, and over there in the Gemara, Besume is Rashi Tevis, Samar Mipachta Rabisari Umishpatecha Yeresi. Right, as we know, it's a pasuk in, I believe it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Samar Mipachta Rabisari. my flesh stands up as a result of my fear of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'mishpatecha yareisi. And I have yira from your mishpatim. I have yira from your judgment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Miriamah says, v'zeremesh afilu be'eish shikris tzarech liyos l'shem shemayim. So the one thing we have to understand is that before we get into a little bit more into the nitty gritty, which we will, but we have to understand that there has to be a level of kavod roish when a person is becoming inebriated. I must say that in my experiences, Baruch Hashem, over the years of seeing Gedolei Yisrael who were intoxicated on Purim or the Rebbeim that I was zeichet to have, the things that came out of their mouths were things that were only Torah and only Avaida and only Musar and Sipurei Tzadikim, right? You could tell the difference between somebody who, you know, Nichasai and Yatzasai, what's inside of them comes out. So people who are holding in the Madrega, when they're drunk, they reveal things and they say things which they maybe not say and will not say the rest of the year, but things which have tremendous tayelis for the people that are there. And Loyalenu, somebody who's not holding on the Madrega, so you hear what's in his heart, so maybe it would be better that he didn't drink.
Right.
Right? So that's like you said, being a gentleman, Chayiv Inish, part of the chiv of Bisume Bipuraya is being a gentleman. A person has to be a gentleman when he's doing when he's taking on this holy mitzvah of being Mavasim, being Nispasim on Purim. One other thing I wanted to add, and I wanted to bring you into the conversation for your comments, is that we know that besume is also from the Lashon of besamim, right? Mevusam. Something which is mevusam is something which smells good.
Right.
So chayav inish lebesume, maybe we could say also, is that if you're going to be able to be mevasem, smell good, and of course we know when you smell good, other people smell that as well, you'll have a hashpa on them. So then it's taka kedai to become intoxicated.
Very nice.
If you're just gonna be somebody who's chas v'shalom, like the halacha it's brought, if you break things, you're potter, of course that's not the inyan of the being intoxicated. The inyan intoxicating is being a mushba, being able to be makabel, and being mashpia in order to give to other people, like I said, you know, that we were zeichet to see by our Rebbeim.
Amazing. And just before I add sort of my own two cents, you're bringing to the table here this incredibly new sort of perspective on the whole Chayav Inish Lebesume with this Chayav Inish and this concept of really being on the proper level, proper Madrega, and doing the appropriate things, in the sense that you're really flipping it around, Tzvan HaPachu, because, you know, we look at Chayav Inish Lebesume, and the question that you posed is, and that many Mefarshim pose is, hey, what's going on? This is not very Jewish of us. And then you say, hang on one second. We're talking to people who are in Inish. We're talking to people who are ro'oi lakach. We're talking to people who are going to take the alcohol and take the shichrus and do things with it. Like you said, Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshiva, Tzadikim, people who, when they start sort of losing their inhibition and when the yayin gets in them and they start the deeper most thoughts of theirs come out, It's stuff that's only Kedusha and Tahara, right? So in a certain sense, it's the exact opposite of what we think. In other words, the same way we see people stoop to new lows when they're not Anoshim Chashuvim, when they're drunk, it's almost like that same Mida, when you do that to a Tzaddik or to an Adam Chashuv, it's almost what he does the rest of the year on steroids, right? Because he's got all this beautiful stuff pent up inside him. He has all these incredible thoughts and machshavas and yedias and chachma. But maybe he's inhibited too. You know, maybe we certainly don't see the same things come out of these anoshim chashuvim the rest of the year as we do when they have a few drinks. So it's almost like the exact same mida, but being exponentially increased to the positive direction. So that just kind of blows me away, and we're just absorbing that more and more as we speak. A couple of one thing parenthetically, since Rabbi Schwartz, you brought up Levesume, I always had this thought on a more sort of push-up shot level. It is funny. It's bottom line, it doesn't say lehishtaker, it says lebesume. Rashi says lebesume means lehishtaker. Lehishtaker, right. And Rashi adds the word lehishtaker b'yayin. And you have to ask yourself, you know, where did Rashi, and that becomes the source for the halacha. Halacha lemaisa, as far as I know, all the poskim say it has to be b'yayin. It comes from that Rashi. Where did Rashi get that from? Now, what's interesting is that, as I said, the Gemara used the word lebesume, which is a little bit of an unusual word. What I always thought was, and I mentioned this to my Rosh Hashiva, and I think he liked it, although I think he himself was a little shooker at the time that I said it, is that the Gemara right before that in Megillah says Rav Chula Besume Shchiach, a very, very, I believe it's Abaye, a very, very famous expression, which is Rav Chula Besume Shchiach. It says that there's actually always room in your stomach to digest sweet stuff, to digest desserts. In other words, Besume over there means sweets. You know, there's an expression in English, there's always room for Jell-O. Which, you know, the Rashi actually says that somehow the insides of our stomach, of our digestive tract, move over when the sugar is coming in, when the sweets are coming in. So you can always fit room for dessert. I said to myself, that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi says, lebesume. Besume implies more than just shichrus. It implies sweet. It implies something sweet. Now, when you drink hard liquor, that certainly causes shichrus, but it doesn't cause it in a sweet sense. You're not drinking something sweet. Wine, at least many wines, are sweet. I don't know about dry wine, but there's a certain sweetness there. So I always thought maybe that's where the concept comes from. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But just getting back to the actual pshat in Adelo Yoda, and I've just always had a thought about Adelo Yoda, which is Nogeya both in halacha and in kind of hashkafa and the perspective on things, which is, as we know, Purim is a chag of a yomtiv of Bein Adam L'Chavera. One of the main themes of Purim is Bein Adam L'Chavera, and it's obvious, it doesn't need to be explained. I mean, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu, there's Ish L'Reyehu, and of course, Matanos L'Avyoinim. And, you know, I always said to myself, just a thought, and there's many Pshatim in Adelo Yada, but just a thought that I had was that maybe Adelo Yada also is really about Bein Adam L'Chavera. And it's a little bit of a chiddush, but the idea would be that when you get drunk and you lose your inhibition, there's sort of two ways to act, as you mentioned before, really. One, and I'm talking about act toward your fellow man. You see, some people get drunk and they get critical and they get a little bit, you know, not nice, and somehow, you know, they're telling their friends their real thoughts about them, which maybe are negative. Then you see the other people. I've seen many people like this where it's the exact opposite, where you see that deep down they have this incredibly positive view of their fellow man. And like you said, a mentalistic view.
Right. How many times were you in shul?
Compliments.
Where, you know, the guys are intoxicated and say, Rebbe, I love you, I love you.
Right.
And they really
mean it. And exactly. And they really mean it. And those guys are connecting. And I've had that. I'm very intimidated by my Rebbeim. And I actually showed up at my Rebbe's house one time, midnight on Purim, and he was awake. And I said, you know, I said, and he wasn't exactly somebody who was overwhelming in his expression of complimenting his tummy, which was fine, you know, more of a sort of Litvish attitude, which was totally fine, but I didn't know what he thought of me. And I said, you know, what do you think? I want to know what Rebbe thinks of me. And so I think you're good. He, you know, whether he meant it or not, but what's he going to say? But it really connected us. And to this day, you know, he'll still once in a while joke to me about how, you know, Purim's a time when I connect with people and say things that I should probably say maybe the rest of the year. But you see that all the time, people with Rebbeim, people with their friends. You know, I'll sometimes, in my experiences when I've had what to drink on Purim, gone over to people and given them compliments, and then I saw that afterwards there was kind of like a remnant there and a connection there that wasn't there before. And my point just is that when you lose your inhibition, it's hard to be positive. It's hard to just go over to a guy in Beis Medrash and just give him a compliment. It's certainly hard to go over to your Rebbe and say, I think you have the best shiur ever, and I think you're such a huge Talmid Chacham. When you're drunk, you lose that inhibition, you can do it. And maybe we could take it a step further, and that could even be one of the pshatim, Adelo Yadam in Ar Hamlo and the Bark Mordechai. When you get drunk, if you have the right mindset, so you actually, you don't even care who the person is. If you really, really have the right mindset, you just love a person for being a Tzelem Elokim, and just you realize that everybody...
You see past his facade.
Exactly. And you just see that everybody has a certain chashivas, and everybody has something to offer this world. So I don't even know Haman, Mordechai, it doesn't matter. I just love humanity.
I mean, so if I could just put it to other words, even if you look at somebody during the whole year as an Arar Haman type of person,
yes,
you don't like him, you despise him, you don't like everything about him, you may not necessarily see eye to eye with him. He's like an Arar Haman type of guy.
Right.
To you, right? He's an Arar Haman type of guy. Purim is Adel Yada. That's very nice.
It's very, oh, thanks.
Beautiful. I wanted to share with you one thought from Rabbi Rucham. I mentioned to you when we were coming up that Rabbi Rucham really gives a very interesting, and I think this is the mafteach to the whole idea of Chayav Inish L'Besume, and I just want to share with you. We know that Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Kafaleim Har Kegigas, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Mount Torah, so he took Har Sinai, he held it over Klal Yisrael, and he said, the Gemara says the famous words, Im Tekabalos HaTorah, Muta Vimlav Sham Tekvu Raschem. So the Gemara says that Mikan Maidar Rabbi Raisa, and we know that Taisa says, the Farshim explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of like gave an out to Klal Yisrael, that he would always be able to, or Klal Yisrael would always be able to justify the fact that they only accepted the Torah be'aynas, not be'ratzon. They were forced to do it. They didn't do it willingly. And therefore, if we chas v'shalom don't keep the Torah, which unfortunately we saw the deri deris happen many times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, so to speak, kaviyachal, an excuse to save us. What happens? So the Gemara tells us, kimu v'kiblu, on the pasuk in the Megillah, kimu masha kiblu kfar. And Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah me'ava in the times of Achashverosh. So Rabbi Ruchim says something very profound. Rabbi Ruchim says that the Kabbalah HaTorah that we had at Har Sinai was a Kabbalah HaTorah me'aynis. It was something that we were forced to do. When a person is forced to do something, you force a child to do something, you force an employee to do something, you force a certain behavior on people, and this is something that, you know, in life we have to be very careful, especially when we're in positions of parenting positions or wherever we may be, that we're in a position of authority. You know, you could force somebody to do something right now, but it's not going to eventually stick. Because that person, as soon as he gets out of that realm of fear that he was in when he was forced to do something, so now, as soon as he is out of that realm, as soon as he's back in his comfort zone, he's going to revert back to his behavior. So says Rabbi Ruchim, that's what happened to Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah. At the time of Matan Torah, as soon as they left the Har, right? We know the Torah says Ketinik Abayreich Mivais HaSefer. It didn't take much. It didn't take that long. So now Klal Yisrael, after Matan Torah, the Kabbalah HaTorah that they had up until the time of Purim was a Kabbalah HaTorah me'aynis.
Right.
So it wasn't necessarily 100% what they themselves, it wasn't actually a Kabbalah HaTorah me'ritzaynam HaTorah. It wasn't necessarily a free will acceptance of
and therefore,
the Torah that they were given.
It was like lacking. It wasn't
and therefore it was complete. Lacking. And if I can just read to you, ooh. He says, V'hayu k'chol anashim v'azla yadim k'chol agvayis hayu b'chafetz libam lasas mashal libam chafetz. They really wanted to do whatever they wanted, not keep the Torah. Achen yiru pachdu mipnei hakarasim harishona, asher oz rov yadu hetiv kirav mar lenasham ba'asosim harav einei Hashem. He says they really wanted to go back and do things on their own. In other words, they really wanted to revert to maybe detrimental behavior, but because they had that memory of what happened in Har Sinai, so they towed the line.
Wow.
But says Rabbi Ruchim, it wasn't really innovative. It wasn't inside, right? So he says that's begeder einus. Says Rabbi Ruchim, that's what happened now at the time of Purim. The time of Purim was that they saw the Nisim, and they saw what happened, that everything happened b'teva. Then they realized that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best, but also they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave them the Torah, gave it for their best, and it was good for them.
Ah.
That it's good for them to keep the Torah. It's good for them to keep the mitzvahs. And then they're mekabel meritzayna matayv. They understood the Ratzon Hashem, not because they were forced to do it, but because they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is in everything that happens in our lives, everywhere we go, no matter what happens, good or bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Oh, they came to that hakaras alakus. They realized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then hader kiblu b'mei Achashverosh. Then it wasn't bebechinas oynes anymore. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe there was a threat to their lives, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't hold over the Yahar telling them to accept the Torah. They saw that long view of the Nisim. They saw that whole story of the Megillah going over how many years it was. What was it, like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years?
Right.
Whatever it was. And they put together that whole picture, and then they saw, now we realize we're really the Amma Nivchar. We really realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken us.
The aha moment.
The aha moment, exactly. So the Rabbi Ruchim explains, right? That he says that this is what it means. Or Haman Baruch Mordechai. Kind of Achareki Purim Kiyamnu Baratzon Gomer Mashiki Balnu Kvar Ba'Oynis. Right? That on Purim we were Makayim Baratzon, but we accept Ba'Oynis by Matan Torah.
Wow.
Now, how did this all come about? This all came about through Yayin, and it's not a coincidence. Because when a person drinks wine and he loses himself, he's intoxicated, he loses his das. Says Rabbi Ruchim, what's the idea over here? The idea over here is that by Purim we lost our das, not because we got drunk in the story of Purim, but we realized we went beyond the confines of our own das, our confines of our own ratzon. We realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the one that drives the bus, kaviyachol. So we went beyond our limited brain power and saw that, whoa, there's a whole plan over here. There's a whole...
We broke free from the shackles.
We broke free from the shackles, right? We realized that, you know, the blinders got taken off. So how do we get back to that point? So says Rabbi Rucham, a person in his day-to-day life, he wears the blinders, right? A person during his day-to-day life, he's not going to talk a certain way like he wants to talk. He's not going to act a certain way that he wants to act. He's not going to say certain things. Why is that? Because we're by and large we're regimented and we are sticking to the script throughout the year. We're disciplined. On Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us the opposite. He wants us to lose our das. He wants us to realize that not to be disciplined and not to be strict, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that there is no script. There is no confines. There is no way that you think things should be done. It's our Ham and Baruch Mordechai. It's all the same. It's all the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's all the Ratzon Hashem.
It's all the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's when Klal Yisrael said, it's all the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're Makabel the Torah Meiratzon.
Unbelievable.
They weren't shackled anymore, right, by that scariness of Har Sinai, Kaf Aleihem Har Gigigas. That shackle was gone. And as a result, that's why Chayav Yishlam Sumi Perayah. Because the only way a person can lose his Das is by becoming intoxicated. Otherwise, we stick to our regular selves, our regularly scheduled program.
Right.
We're very regimented and we're hopefully disciplined and strict. And in a ruchnius way, right, we'll allow ourselves now to start thinking, hey, one second, maybe I can be better. Maybe I can daven better. I can learn better. I can be a better husband. I can be a better parent. I can be a better father. I can be a better mother. I can treat my parents better. You know, I can do all those things, all those limitations that I give to myself. Oh, I'm too tired to go to shul. I'm too tired to go learn. I'm too tired to get up. I'm too tired to do the daf again or to chazer or to do another daf or to learn b'in. You know, then we realize it works the other way too, right? That those limitations that we set upon ourselves the whole year are really fake limitations.
Right.
Because Purim teaches us that the sky is the limit.
Unbelievable, right? It's so true. I mean, psychologically, I mean, I think there's even studies that demonstrate this, that when you limit your own psyche and when you kind of limit your own abilities, even if it's in your head, but it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it's just such a profound musig and just this incredibly sort of liberating idea. And you're saying that this was a fundamental shift in the collective psyche of Klal Yisrael,
correct,
where until that point they were doing it as an inus. Until that point they were doing what they were doing.
They were living with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's an amazing.
You know, and now they were, I want to share a story with you and with our listeners. You know, I was listening and I was in the car this week with my wife. I have to give credit where credit's due. We were listening to Mrs. Shira Smiles. We found her online. She was giving a shir about this topic. And she said over a very interesting mushel. And I think everybody will enjoy this. She said a story. Again, true, not true, but the mushel is the same. A boy from New York finds a nice girl from Eretz Yisrael. He marries her. And they go to Eretz Yisrael for the chasana. So on the last day that the boy's parents are there from America, so the husband, the father of the chassan already had to go back to work. He left the day earlier, and his wife stayed in order to finish things up and to go back, you know, and then she'll go back with the family. Anyway, on the last day, they have to give the Kala's family $5,000. That's the upmach. She's in her hotel room. She's in the plaza, and she's looking for the $5,000. She can't find it. So she starts getting nervous. She starts getting hysterical. She calls her son, the new chassan. Where's the money? What are they gonna do? The mechutanim, and as Mrs. Smiles puts it, she says, you know, she starts going into hysteria, and she can't find it. She calls her husband. She's supposed to check out. She calls her husband. She asks the hotel, you know, maybe we could stay another couple hours until my husband lands. Maybe he hid it somewhere in the room, and we can find the money. Anyway, he lands. And she calls him. You know, honey, where's the money? What do you mean? I gave it to you. You gave it to me. You did. Where is it? Anyway, so she's panicking beyond. Finally, she in the middle of the mass hysteria, this confusion hysteria, she says to herself, you know, before I left in New York, I got a phone call from a family I know. They asked for a $5,000 loan because they're making a chasna. And I didn't get back to them because I didn't have time because we were going to Eretz Yisrael. But it's something that we could do. We can afford that. We can afford that loan. You know what? If I find the money, I'm gonna give them that loan for Achnas Kala.
Wow.
She's not finished making this Kabbalah, All of a sudden, and she's, you know, she picks up the sweater for the 300th time. Boom, out pops the money.
Wow. Anyway,
she says to her son, you know, now I have a Shiloh. What to do? What do you mean, mom? She says, you know, I didn't even finish making this Kabbalah and the money came out. So maybe I'm not mechuyev to take on this Kabbalah. Maybe I'm not mechuyev to give the $5,000. So the chassan's a smart boy. He learned in yeshiva. He married a nice girl. He says, Ma, you missed the boat. You missed the boat. Because here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give you good, right? And you tapped onto, you reached into the, you know, the good, right? And now you want to throw it away. Right? So she says, Mrs. Smiles, she says, well, what's the pshat? Pshat is, person thinks, I can find it. I know where it is. I'm going to find it. As soon as you say, Hashem, I can't find it anymore. I'm gonna do something for you, and you're mevatel your das, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So then Hashem says, you're mevatel your das? Now I'm gonna help you. So now what happens? Behema bikshu cheshbonis ravim. Now she starts making cheshbonis. Maybe no.
Right.
I didn't. That's what Hashem, and that's a pshat chai ben shlem suim paraya. We have to give our das over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let me finish that with one other thought, and then you jump in, Rabbi. The one thing that we don't give, on every Yom Tov, we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu something. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow a shofar. On Shavuos, we sleep. We don't sleep, right? On Pesach, we right? There's all sorts of things that we're menadev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? On Purim, what are we menadev? We're menadev our das.
That's unbelievable.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to give us, say, okay, Hashem, I'm not part of the picture. I don't have any say in what goes on. And the truth is, as we get older, we realize how little of a say we really have.
Yeah.
You know? When absolutely. We're younger, we think, like I said, young youth is wasted on the young. As a person gets older and you see things around you, you see how the world works, you realize that we're not in control. So Purim really is that message. We're not in control at all. We have nothing to do with what goes on in the world. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way we can really get to that madriga is by becoming intoxicated.
Unbelievable.
Otherwise, we're stuck to the confines of our das.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. As you said, the older I get, that's one of the few lessons that I feel I understand better and better is I have zero control. There is no predictability. You literally will look at people who you think have a certain matzav in life and think things are wonderful, and Rahman al-Zan, you find out not that they're not, and then you know, you'll rethink your own situation and think about the problems that you think you had and say, wait a second, life's pretty good. But literally, week after week, you said it so well. You know, we it almost happens even stronger and stronger because there are more and more surprises. We live longer, more and more surprises. I don't think that there's possibly any lesson which is as relevant to all of us in these, especially last few turbulent months. When you just look at the world, and you know, if I just say the word current events, I don't even have to say the specific current events, because if I just say that, everybody thinks about, you know, whether it's different countries which are doing all sorts of terrible things, whether it's our own country. If you don't see the Yad Hashem running,
yeah, I mean, who would have thunk it, right?
It's just, you couldn't make it up. Some of this stuff, if I mean,
couldn't write it up. Couldn't write a fiction book,
right? Yeah. You couldn't write fiction. If some of the stuff I hear and I say, if I read it as a fiction book, I would say, oh, this is silly. It's not realistic.
Or the author has a wild imagination.
Right. And when the author is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's just beyond that. It's such an unbelievable lesson, you know, to walk away from Purim, as you said so beautifully, surrendering your das and, you know, recognizing that, hey, when you're drunk and you're shikr, you are completely out of control and literally anything can happen and Hashem is just guiding you, hopefully. Hashem is certainly guiding you. Hopefully you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, well, and it's no coincidence either. Like you said, guiding you, is that that's why tefillah, if you look in all the Sfarim HaKadoshim, tefillah is so important on Purim. Because, you know, the way we're guided, you know, the Chazal say that the way we're guided is the way a person davens, right? Eid Yalam in Aretz, right? The Torah Rashi brings, and Chazal say that the rain only came when Adon Rishon davened for it, right? So the Toiv is there. We just have to, and that's why Purim is so mesugal. All the Sfarim HaKadoshim talk about this. That the Zman of Purim is mesugal for tefillah, and I believe in our shul there's going to be a chabura getting together at midnight to say the whole Sefer Tilim.
Right.
So you know, a lot of beautiful customs as it pertains to is brought down. The Ma'ariv of Purim is mesugal for many things. The benching of Purim by the Suda is mesugal for many things. And Bechlal, you know, the things that we can be zeichet to on Purim, mitaych shikras, are things that you can't be zeichet to throughout the year.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what to possibly add to that. I mean, well, it's just an incredible idea.
So just the takeaway from our conversation is that, you know, it's important to be a mensch, like we said. It's important for a person to realize that if he's not holding by becoming nishtaker on Purim, he obviously should not do it. As the Rama says, and you pointed out so beautifully, that you can drink and go to sleep. Sleeping alone doesn't do it. But drinking a little bit more, going to sleep, and that also maybe is a little bit of a key of what we're talking about. That you say, you know, I'm not able to maybe do the mitzvah to drink totally, but I'm a vatal my das to what the Chazal said is the mitzvah.
Great point.
Right?
Yes.
And more importantly, to realize that it's not just getting drunk; it's not just an opportunity to let loose and all the stress of the year and everything. It's more an opportunity to kind of, like you said so eloquently, that you see people, you know, you see with people that we see maybe not so in a positive light the whole year, we're able to see them in a positive light because all those boundaries fall when we're a little bit more inebriated.
Yeah, absolutely. If you plan it out ahead of time, I think that also helps. You know, get into that frame of mind when you still are in total control. And I think it actually sticks even when you have some drinks. So, yeah,
so beautiful. We want to wish our listeners a Freilich and Purim, a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, I guess we could say, a Freilich and Purim, and as this week is Parshas Zachar, everybody should remember to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Zechiras Mechiras Amalek, which I guess we'll talk about at a different time. That's a great topic to talk about. What is the Mitzvah exactly?
Oh, yeah.
But we have an opportunity this coming Shabbos to do a Mitzvah, which is according to many Paiskim is Deraisa. But again, I want to thank Rabbi Margolis for indulging me in this crazy idea of getting together and doing this Purim podcast. And Mirtz Hashem, we hope that there will be some good feedback coming back from everybody, and we'll maybe do it in the future. Good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz. Good Shabbos.